Well, look at this. A snake in the birdhouse.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what's up, fellas?
Hello, snake. Look who decided to grace us with his presence.
What number shirt are you on?
Is that 42?
42. Yeah. He wore 41, or on day 41, he wore Dirk. He had no idea it was day 41.
Good dude.
Whoa. But that's how in sync I am with Dirk.
That's
what we do.
That's super hot.
Easiest challenge I've ever been a part of.
What's next week?
Next week is hockey sweater week.
And after that?
Ticket jersey week.
God, are you running out of clothes, or is this just the
dude,
bit you're doing?
It's the bit.
This... Not, I haven't even put a dent in what we're doing.
He said he could wear a different shirt every single day for a year. Right? Or to the end of the year. What was it?
I mean,
it
was really the end of the year. But I can definitely go into March, April.
We're just
not
seeing how
close,
far
just
we can
different.
Go.
Oh, yeah. God, hey. I couldn't get to the end of the month wearing
clothes. No.
I couldn't either.
And then when you added the jerseys onto it, it just extended it for another month.
It's so awesome.
And you're retiring the jerseys, and some of them are being given to P1s and charitable causes.
Yes, a donation to At Last will get you whatever jersey I have on my back.
Yeah.
This is in
Bob
retirement.
Did that. Bob pocketed all the money.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
Yeah. All right, with the new revelation that EA is going to be a teacher.
What?
He went down to a teacher's conference. I don't know if he did it to go get ass.
He tried, but the girl he asked out was with somebody.
Oh, it's probably both.
The booty.
This is all public knowledge. Don't worry.
By the way, we had a live EA owl last night.
Did you hear that, Matt? Okay, yeah, that was great. It was live and in person. It's almost like I bought a concert ticket, and I was front row for it.
So with the revelation that he's going to be a teacher, curious as to what occupation everyone considered prior to finding their footing in radio.
I was going to be a teacher.
Yeah, I was too.
And I took all the tests.
Really?
It was the accelerated certification program, the AC program. Took all the tests, did everything, and I was on my way out of the door at lunch when I was working at KLIF to go sign the contract and go teach. And I passed by John Shambi's office and stopped, hit it in reverse, and told him exactly what I was going to go do. And he said, wait a minute, sit down. And then he walked out and he came back. He said, well, if I pay you this, will you stay? I was like, oh, my gosh, 3 more cents an hour? Yes, I'll stay. And I stayed. I was on my way to go sign it.
See, I wanted to be a professor, not like a high school teacher. I wanted to. But then,
college.
Yeah, but then, and that was what I wanted to do, like, starting out in college. But then, like, I'm like, this is going to take so long. I might as well be a doctor. Like, it takes forever to be a college professor.
Yeah, it's true. Because you got to teach at different levels, right? And get certain.
Well, you just got to keep going to school for it.
I was going to be an actor.
I can see that.
Yeah. I mean, you're a big theater kid and all that.
Yeah, I did that. And I went to college for theater and did all that whole thing. Of course, I probably wouldn't have been. I would have just been poor living in New York.
But now I look back at it and I feel like that probably like everybody else that's done the same thing for 3 decades or whatever, that I would have been horrible at everything.
I feel like you would have been a really good professor. Just your attitude and just knowing you would have been fine. They would have loved being in your class, and I think I would have been a decent teacher. Because I would have gone elementary or high school. I am not teaching middle school. Never, ever would I go to the middle school level and teach, because those
kids smart asses
are jerks.
Yeah. No, I agree.
But I felt like I would have been a decent teacher.
Okay, so Brian says if you could only have one beer for the rest of your life, what would it be? Which brings us to our conversation we were having prior to this. So we have a guy. We had our Marconi party last night with EA Owl. And we also had one of our board ops that was there that I hadn't met before, but apparently I had met him at Ticket Stock. He's a weekend overnight guy.
Can I tell the Corey story?
Yeah.
We're all having a great time, and Thomas walks in. He sits down. Everybody's enjoying everything. I'm sitting by Lando. We're having a great time. Corby, he waltzes over there. He sits down. He looks him right in his face. He points at him and says,
I don't know you.
And he's like, well, I know you.
I didn't know him. He said we met at Ticket Stock. I don't remember that.
Nice guy.
He was so drunk at Ticket Stock.
Yeah. But then he was drinking a Revolver Blood and Honey. And for those who don't know, I get it if you don't know, but it was the first official breakout local beer.
It was craft beer.
Yeah. It's big. I'll be at Revolver on Saturday.
It's huge. It's still
2 o'clock. Come out.
Don't you think, Matt, it's still the number one local beer sold, probably?
Man, it very well might be, yeah. It's got to be way up there.
But Thomas looked at Matt, knowing that Matt was, you know, into beer and all that, and he's holding his Blood and Honey, and he goes, Matt, have you ever tried this beer before? And it was the most dismissive, yeah. Yeah.
Man, be cool to Thomas.
I was very cool.
I have like tried it. Blood and Honey.
Well, yeah.
Quit picking on Thomas.
I wasn't.
I've bathed in it before. What are you talking about?
Do you know what the hell I do for a living?
It was.
They call me the beer bitch.
Yeah, we did try Blood and Honey on Sip like a week ago.
Both work. It's interchangeable. Either way, it's Damn Game and BB.
Delicious. Revolver, always doing high quality.
In light of the bottle bombing at the UT-Georgia game on Saturday night, what sporting event did you feel the most unsafe, or do you now feel the most unsafe?
If I went to an NFL game, I feel like, my God, is somebody going to try to kick my ass just because I'm wearing the wrong jersey or something? Because you see those videos all the time. Yeah.
I know where I felt the most unsafe. It was at Texas Stadium when Randall Cunningham played, and I had a Randall Cunningham jersey on at Texas Stadium.
Like when you were 21 or something, 22?
Did somebody try to fight you or throw stuff at you?
I got threatened. I got threatened also because I had my girlfriend with me at the time, now my wife, that they take my jersey and her too. So, kind of get the hell out of there.
I went to Florida State in the Swamp 1 year, and the tickets I had, I didn't care who won. I just was going, and we were in the Florida section, but we were like right next to us was where the Florida State section started. And I saw a fight break out, and they started slinging racial slurs around. It got to a point I was like, man, we need to, like, get out of here.
Yeah.
Like, this is, like, they are throwing fists in the stands. And then eventually people started pointing to the one person that was just screaming slurs at these other people.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to get security. It's that guy right there. He's doing it. And this guy's trying to run away, and people are holding him down. He's throwing. I mean, it was insane.
And that's one thing a section will do. If it's one person kind of getting out of line, they will galvanize and either snitch him out or make sure that, you know, hey, man, just chill out, be cool, or something like that.
Yeah. I went to Bedlam, Oklahoma State, in 2011, and it was for the Big 12 championship. They didn't have the championship game, remember, for like 4 years or something like that. This was for the Big 12 championship, and it was an awesome game. It was back and forth, and there was a guy like three rows behind me that was so loud and so obnoxious, an Oklahoma State guy, and like, I mean, it was borderline, I felt like we needed to leave. This guy was so over the top and crazy, and so I turned around at one point in the second half. I'm like, man, can you please calm it down? The worst thing I've ever done in my life. Because at that point, he literally trained
on
me.
All the focus was on you.
Of course.
And like, I turned around one time and looked at him. He's just cussing me out. I went and told security. I'm like, I think I'm going to die. And I think this guy's going to kill me. I want to let you know this beforehand. He told me if I turned around one more time and looked at him, that he was going to come down there and kick my ass.
Okay.
And so it was like a 48-41 game, and OU scored on like one of the last plays of the game type stuff. And my buddy's like, do not turn around. Don't turn around. And I turned my head around. I went like this. I go, like, gave him the...
oh, no!
The eye raise.
Like, now
he
what?
Dove down
no
after
me.
Oh, yeah. He dove down like three rows after me. Security saw it all, grabbed him, like carrying him out. I'm gonna kill you! I'm gonna kill you!
Have fun and
I'm
in
like,
prison.
See you later. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Totally. As security has a hold to him, you're going, bye bye.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Oh,
well, legend.
The bad radio trip at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like I was in danger because I felt like I was the one that was kind of being the aggressor.
Oh.
So I felt pretty good about it.
Nice.
Because I was gonna beat the crap out of the dude.
I think in general, NFL games right now, though, scary.
The NFL
Too many videos.
Yeah.
Way too many.
Videos. All right. This guy says, I'm getting close to the time to have the talk with his 9-year-old son.
Whoa, man.
9 years old?
You don't need to do it at 9.
He says, since he recently asked us what a virgin is.
It's...
So around the horn,
it's just a name for someone.
Did your parents have the talk with you? If so, what age? And did you have the talk with your kids? My parents never did.
It's a big old hell no for me.
They didn't even attempt. We did. I kind of was aware of it.
Okay, your dad and mom talked to you?
Yeah.
Have you talked to...
No.
No, but he's right 13, along those lines.
And I've tried to have conversations and see how the response will be, and it gets shot down pretty quick. Like, Dad, what? No.
Son, let me show you this
documentary. But I just try to show him, look... And I've said this to him multiple times, if you have a question or you whatever, you can talk to me about it, you know? Like, it's okay. Like, you don't have to be embarrassed or feel weird. I just want you to know if you feel like you have somebody you need to talk to, you can talk to me. He's like, okay. And he gets back on his phone.
Yeah, no, that's a great way to do it. My mom asked me one question one time when I was 16, 17. And it was, do you have a condom in your wallet?
Oh, God.
And I went, what? No!
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure I did. That's what we did back in those times. Like, of course not!
Yeah, you would freak
she
out.
She saw
about
your
it.
Wallet.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what happened.
She saw the little outline of
just
the
circles.
Right. Oh, yeah.
What do you think you needed a condom for at 16?
None. Didn't need it.
I'm not saying that I did. I'm not trying to pump up anything.
Like, we did it with our kids. And because same thing. I know that if I like, son, come sit down.
Right, yeah.
You have diagrams.
Dude, he would be like, I know, I'm getting away,
right,
I'm getting away.
Yeah.
So we decided to do it while we knew they couldn't leave on a road trip. We had a 12-hour car trip.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You turned down the...
They were like watching a DVD and we turned it off.
Turned down
like,
Toy Story.
Turn it back on. What's going on?
Hold on, because you're about to have your mind blown.
Yeah.
And at what point in the road trip did you pull the trigger on that? How many hours?
It was like 6 hours in or something like that.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it's one of those things.
They roll down the window and just jump out. Like, I can't handle this.
You got to make sure that they feel... I don't want him to think it's something that he can't talk about, you know? So it becomes...
But you say that and you go, yes, okay. But you know the kid is not, you're not going to be the first person that they go to. There's no way. If I had any questions that my mom and dad would be the first person I would go to. It'd be a cousin, a friend, or something. And even if they told me to do it. Like my my cousin was telling me about her son that is quite open with her and her mom, his grandma. So open, as a matter of fact, where they are like, I don't want to hear this. Like, that's not what... No.
Yeah, not that.
And, there has to be some kind of...
I think the age is 12 to 13.
Yeah.
Like, that's probably the age where you need to do it. But at the same time, you're right. I would not have gone to my mom or dad and asked them anything.
I'm not doing that now.
No. Nothing. Zero. I didn't want to know it. I would ask my friends or if... Not my parents. I think it's different now. I think parents are more open with their kids now. I'm way more open with my kids than my parents were with me.
That's not
like in a sexual way.
No, but I think because there's so much online now that's easy to access that I try to make sure, like, I don't want his knowledge coming from anything he might see online or.
Yeah, that's true. We just had the Sears catalog and there's nothing you could really learn from that.
Yeah.
Except for what someone looks like in a big old yellow draws.
Yeah, I just...
We had it all.
That's about it.
I just handed my kids the picture of the dude on the side of the bed.
God.
Here. Figure it out.
All right. That's the Birdhouse for this week. Thank you, people.
Good stuff, Corby.
Thank you, Corby.